Jofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. So FBI Director James Comey is canned. He found out while he was in Los Angeles. He was right here in our backyard. He was addressing some FBI agents at the FBI field office. And so he's giving a talk, which apparently was on diversity. So he's talking about diversity, and up behind the picture this, you know, he's at the podium, and so behind the agents that he is addressing, there are a series of television screens that are turned on to the news, but I would presume on silent. So he's talking and he looks up and he sees on these screens the announcement that he's been fired. Well, he thought it was a prank. He starts laughing and he says, "You guys, this is..." and any good prankster would, the agents were stone-faced. That's right. These professional poker players. So I guess one of his aides comes running up to him and says, "Sir, excuse me, you really need to come here." So he interrupts his talk, walks off stage, apparently shakes hands with a few people there, goes into a room, a side room, into a little huddle where they tell him, "No, it's real. You've just been fired." Now, I don't know if the news made him feel mildly nauseous, referencing his testimony earlier about how he felt when he discovered that perhaps he might have contributed to Hillary Clinton's loss in the November election. This is a nothing story, and I appreciate it's newsworthy. Not unprecedented. Bill Clinton canned his FBI director in 94. That guy's name was William Sessions, and you probably didn't know that name because nobody cares. The reaction, if you think what my statement is absurd, today, very interesting, was following the reaction, the unfolding, changing temperature on this. So, for example, CNN, for about 20 minutes when the news broke, which would have been, I think, about 2:30 our time, roughly. No, 1:30. I think 1:30 I already got some news of it. So, anyway, this afternoon, news breaks. Turning CNN on. Want to see what the opposition is thinking. And for about 20 minutes, the news was largely, I would say, dispassionate. They're reporting on the facts. They're saying, "Well, I understand this. He's pissed off both Democrats and Republicans. He's kind of in an untenable place. You know, he's made a lot of missteps. Makes sense. Yada, yada, yada." And then Jeffrey Toobin, their erstwhile legal analyst on CNN, comes on Wolf Blitzy's program. And this is what he said. By the way, this is what set off the ensuing media firestorm on the left. Literally, this was the opening shot earlier today.
"It's a grotesque abuse of power by the president of the United States. This is the kind of thing that goes on in non-democracies, that when there is an investigation that reaches near the president of the United States or the leader of a non-democracy, they fire the people who are in charge of the investigation. I have not seen anything like this since October 20th, 1973, when President Nixon fired Archibald Cox, the Watergate special prosecutor. This is something that is not within the American political tradition. That firing led indirectly, but certainly, to the resignation of President Nixon, and this is very much in this tradition."
What I really like is when legal analysts, and Toobin's a lawyer, okay, he's a smart lawyer, when they can't remove their Lib Dem hat long enough to give a reasonable, assessment, a legal assessment of a situation. Tubin's later pressed out. Now, look, tell me, is the president within his rights, though? Is he within his rights to? Oh, yes, 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 yes. He's within his rights, but still. So banana republic. This is a Chavez type moment. I've got this. What you do? This is what happens in these military dictatorships. You know, admit it, the guy gets close. You know, they get rid of him. And so the cacophony of responses continued. Now, I will posit this to you. What high-profile cases has Comey handled in recent memory? It's not a long, exhaustive list here. I'll throw one name out there. Hillary Clinton. Remember her email, little email problems? Had the homebrew server sending classified information to her herself and to others. Problem. Okay. What others? Oh, yes. Clinton Crime Family Foundation, right? So the big, you know, fundraising efforts of the Clinton family where they were already pre-selling Hillary's presidency to the top bidders of despotic nations all over the place. No doubt countries Mr. Tubin is well familiar with. What else? Well, yeah, Wiener, investigated Wiener, investigated Flynn, presumably investigated Trump. By the way, in the letter today, in Trump's, Trump fires him and then goes on to point out, thank you for clearing me three times and telling me I'm not being investigated. Obviously anticipating the uproar that would happen, that, you know, this was a politically targeted firing. Now, I brought up Hillary. I brought up the Clinton Family Foundation. I brought up Wiener, Flynn, Trump even. Gosh, throw him in there. This is just to tell you the following. Oh, the Russians. Don't forget the Russians. They're on that list, too. How many prosecutions have resulted from all this investigating? That's right. A giant, big, fat goose egg. You know, if Comey, if he was running a business and he was the CEO of that business. And then that business, of course, is measured, success is measured in, I don't know, in revenue, stock price, whatever have you. I mean, I'm here to tell you, the stock price of the FBI is low. It's low with Democrats. It's low with Republicans. Don't listen to what Maxine Waters has to say today or Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, okay? July the 5th. It was July the 5th, was it not, when he got up and gave his press conference on Hillary Clinton on the email scandal? He gets up and he lays out what, and again, I've taken this, I'm looking at it, it's a absolute blueprint for a criminal prosecution of Hillary Clinton. Lays it out there in the middle of the election. Bam, 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 lays it out. And then says, oh, but I'm going to let it go. Nothing to see here, folks. And then a week ago, he's testifying. He's saying, yeah, well, you know, I was in a real pickle because of, well, Loretta Lynch, when she got on that plane with Bill Clinton, I mean, there, I really couldn't do very much. You want to read between the lines there? It's pretty easy. He had enough to prosecute Hillary, but couldn't because he couldn't. And now you have the chief law enforcement officer, which is not, by the way, the FBI director. It is the attorney general. And you had the attorney general so thoroughly compromised by the Clintons. I mean, Bill knew exactly what he was doing. So he's all but admitting that he can't do anything. No way, no how. And then lays out that case publicly, which, by the way, I mean, it's almost like a petulant protest vote at that point, isn't it? And when you have an acting, the FBI director, okay, head of the FBI, and again, this laying out a criminal case like that doesn't pursue it, doesn't take it anywhere, nothing. Same, by the way, same with the Flynn thing. I still, by the way, even as of yesterday, I always run out of time here, but we were talking a little bit about it last night. Tell me exactly. I want to understand what Flynn did wrong. Because in all of this mess, you have to tell me that. If you want to tell me that Flynn was compromised, that he was X, Y, and Z, you tell me what he did wrong. I mean, as best as I can tell, he talked to the Russian ambassador during the transition, which is about as plain, as simple, as normal vanilla pie as you can get. I mean, these ambassadors, I've explained it to me. You talk to ambassadors. That's what you do. And talking about the sanctions, whatever it was, he got fired for not telling Pence. So I'm telling you here, this is, you want nothing. This is a nothing thing. I woke up before this firing today. I woke up this morning and I was going to talk about this because I awoke to the story here. Well, it apparently, okay, there were, so the New York Times, no, it was the Washington Post and also the New York Post reported that FBI Director Comey overstated the number of emails that had been sent by top Hillary aide Huma Abedin. So remember when he said, when he last week he testified that there were hundreds of thousands of emails that Huma had sent to her husband, Anthony Weiner. We talked about it here on the program. Well, guess what? Not true. The Washington Post reported none of the emails were marked as classified, but a few did contain information that was later deemed classified. Totally got it wrong. I don't know how to interpret that other than the guy's incompetent. And by the way, last time I checked, did Trump just fire the whole FBI? I mean, all these people, and I'm going to play you the reactions because it's hilarious. It's a good laugh. The every agent that was working on the Russia hacking investigation, to the extent that there is anything there to investigate, those people all remain. Removing the FBI director, I mean, this is absurd. Trump didn't fire the whole FBI. The entire organization is still there. Now I'll tell you, By the way, I'll play you this. Here's what Chuck Schumer said after the Comey firing. And these were his comments after everybody had sort of gotten their talking orders. And go ahead, let's play this.
I simply said to him, Mr. President, in all due respect, you're making a very big mistake. And he didn't really answer. And I have said from the get-go that I think a special prosecutor is the way to go. But now, with what's happened, it is the only way to go. Only way to go to restore the American people's faith. Are people going to suspect cover-up? Absolutely. If an independent special prosecutor is appointed, there still can be some faith that we can get to the bottom of this. If not, everyone will suspect cover-up.
Drag it out to 2018. This is the Democrat Party playbook. And this is why, by the way, for 20 minutes there on CNN, nobody knew what to do because they hadn't gotten their marching orders yet. They were paralyzed. They didn't know. And by the way, the first reactions for example, Dianne Feinstein, you know, Trump reached out to Dianne Feinstein and got a fairly neutral response from her. Very basic reaction from her, and then didn't go out and say anything. And it took about 3 hours for these type of reactions to come out. And it's because they see an opportunity. The opportunity now is to beat the drum for a special prosecutor. And as you heard on John Phillips and Jillian Barbary just a few minutes ago, the guest that they had on is explaining how that isn't possible. The statute has expired. You got to bring the statute back. You have to do this. It's a big deal, and the Republicans don't want to do it and whatnot. But the point of it is, why do they want it? Why did the statute elapse? Why did it go by the wayside? Because these special prosecutors were basically running these huge investigations, took years and years, cost you and me a whole bunch of money. And very rarely did they come up with anything. But that's exactly what they want. They want to drag this out to 2018. They want to drag it out. Get this thing, this total nothing, nonsense, Russia meddling, interfering, in cahoots with the Trumpster. This is what they want to, they want to obsess about this for the next 2 years. Special prosecutor, my foot. All right, more on this when we come back.
Talk radio,
790 KABC. Yeah, so Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, you heard his clip earlier, just in the last segment. I played Mr. President, in all due respect, you're making a big mistake. Now, where was Chucky a little while ago? Maybe middle of July, early July? Well, interestingly enough, dating back to when is this? November 2nd. This is after Comey had issued that second letter. Remember that? He first said, "Okay, all right, we found new emails." This is 2 weeks before that. We found new emails, and then never mind. Everything's good. We went through them. We combed through, 30,000 emails, in 48 hours, we're good. Hillary's clean bill of health. So Chuck Schumer at that point said, "I do not have confidence in him any longer." And then went on to denounce him. By the way, other people came out against him, too. This is a little soundbite. Just if you think I'm talking out of my hat, here are some of our friends on the left talking about Comey. This is, by the way, unfortunately, Trump was not president yet, so it wasn't his fault that any of this had happened. He was not there to be scapegoated. This was all still firmly 2 feet planted in the Obama era, and Trump had not yet been elected president. Here is what the Democrats were saying about Comey.
"I think it's hard to be a director of such an important institution when that trust is no longer there.
I think the faith of the people of the FBI is somewhat shaken in their leadership, and I think the faith of the country is in the director of the FBI is somewhat perilous. Given all of that, I think you ought to spend more time with his family."
"And he clearly has a double standard when it comes to Donald Trump."
"All I can tell you is the FBI director has no credibility. That's it.
That was Maxine Waters delivering a great line and then doing a mic drop, basically, just walking off stage. The first clip was Bobby Mook, Mook? I never know how to pronounce that. Well, anyway, Bobby Mook. Now, he was the wunderkind campaign manager for the enormously successful Hillary Clinton campaign for president. 2.0. And today, The Hill quoted him. What did they say? This terrifies me. This is from a tweet that he sent out. Yeah, this terrifies me. I was as disappointed and frustrated as anyone at how the email investigation was handled. Now, he's referring, of course, to how James Comey handled the investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails. Yeah. So, what of all of this? Isn't it blatant? It's so blatant. It's so obvious. It's the narrative. It's an untenable narrative for the Democrats. I'll show you later as we kind of unpackage this. I'll show you why rank and file Democrats, members of the public, Democratic Party voters, this is not what they want. There's a fringe element that wants to burn the Trump presidency to the ground. But the bulk of the party wants to hear some cohesive plan, some platform, some ideas that can be stitched together and put forth that are and will redefine what the party is moving forward, what it stands for. And it can't just be, you know, Russia stole the election and Trump is a bad man and this is a banana republic, because at some point when this all gets laid out bare and investigated and put forth and it's out there, there's nothing to it. It will be totally empty and it'll fall apart and it'll come undone. And then what? What do they have? What foundation have the Democrats got? They got nothing. Zip. All right. I'll give you some of those reactions when we come back. It should be pretty interesting. Not should. It will be interesting. You know who else is interesting? John Wolfe. And he's up next with KBC News. Back right after this.
Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, live from our undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain. 800-222-5222 is the phone number here. 800-222-5222. And as always, my email, sam@samnation.com. All right. Now, to illustrate what I was telling you, that the initial reaction to the Comey firing was no big deal. That's what my reaction was. I get it. The guy was not effective. He was pissing everybody off. And incidentally, you don't grossly misstate. I mean, what he did in his testimony with Huma Abedin, as it related to those emails, I mean, he got up in front of Congress and said there were hundreds of thousands of emails when, in direct contradiction to agents working on the case, said there were all but a few. Now, few to me means three. I don't know. Maybe there were a few more than that. But not hundreds of thousands. So what the heck is he talking about? What a goofball. But at any rate, to illustrate my point that the reaction to this from members of Congress, even from the friends on our friends on the left, was relatively muted. Here is Dana Bash today on CNN, Wolf Blitzer, and this is talking a little bit later after that clip that we played earlier with Jeffrey Toobin. And here is what she is saying about the evolving reaction to the news that broke today on James Comey.
Well, you know, the initial statements that we got from members of Congress, the senators who are kind of in charge of oversight, Lindsey Graham on the Republican side, Dianne Feinstein on the Democratic side, weren't critical. Boy, has that changed since we've all been talking. Democrat after Democrat releasing statements in the Senate saying that this is absolutely inappropriate. Bob Casey of Pennsylvania calling it Nixonian. Others basically saying it is akin to, as you asked, Senator Manchin, the Saturday Night Massacre, of course, back in the Nixon administration when he did fire the key officials at the Justice Department because of their investigation. So that has changed dramatically in terms of how the reaction is coming in.
I wonder why. Well, you're listening to me. I'll tell you exactly what happened. The first wave of reactions were the real reactions, were the normal human being reactions, were the reasonable politician reactions. Okay. And then the memo started going out. Then the leadership got together. Okay. Certainly as it relates to the House and the Senate, the leadership got together and said, how are we going to react to this? And that's where Schumer and Pelosi said, oh, we got to go crazy about this. We got to go crazy. And immediately began getting all of their members, all of their party members in a row and on the same page. You are talking about robots. These are robots. You ever wonder why? This is an exact, a great example to you of what I find so stupid about the left. Hey, look, the Republicans fall into the same category too. But there is more independent minded. You'll find more independents on the Republican side, as evidenced today, because there's a number of dim-witted Republicans that are saying the same stuff as the Democrats. I don't know. It doesn't make them any smarter, but at least they're not being puppeteered by Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. This whole thing was manufactured, and the outrage is manufactured. And it's the same thing with Trump, with the Russians, with the hacking, with the interference, with everything. It's all manufactured outrage. And deep down inside, all of these Democrats are going, gosh dang it, Comey, that mother, you know what, got exactly what he deserved. I'm going to add one more thing for our friends on the left. You know what? Trump did what Obama wouldn't do. There you go. Obama should have fired him. Should have done it right then and there with that nonsense Hillary Clinton and those emails. Anyway, Trump, decision maker. What can I tell you? Back after this.
KABC.
Have you ever been in a car accident? I hope you haven't. I really do. But if you have, you need to make sure that you do a few things right. Step one, don't talk to the insurance company on the other side. Do not do it. Bad idea. The only reason they want to talk to you is to get information from you that they will use against you. That's how it works. Step two, you're not talking to them. So step two, what's step two? You know the answer here. Call a lawyer and make sure that lawyer is attorney Sweet James Bergner. He's the lawyer we trust here on the program. You've got to get somebody who's an advocate, who's going to fight for you, who's going to make sure that you're protected. All right. And Sweet James, he's the guy. Every person deserves to have a free consultation with a great lawyer. And that's what Sweet James will give you. So, you know, anytime, anywhere, you get into an accident, you have something come up, you think you've been injured, call Sweet James. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky back behind the Sam Nation microphone. And you're probably wondering, with all this stuff going on, you know, you heard the Dana Bash clip, you know, reasonable Democrats, they're reasonable. Then they get the memo that they're supposed to be go nuts. They start frothing at the mouth. Anti-Trump, they're calling Trump Nixon. They can't make up their minds. Is he Hitler? Is he Nixon? We don't know. But he is definitely a fascist, a Nazi. He's authoritarian. All this stuff. Do you ever wonder what Democratic voters actually think? You know, what do they want? You guys, let me give you a favor. Let me help you. I am a consummate connoisseur of all things political. I can tell you, if you're a Democrat, you're listening, and you have an inside line to Nancy Pelosi, listen up. You got to lay low on some of this stuff. You just got to lay low on it. Do we have this Face the Nation clip? This is a guy named Jerry. He was on Face the Nation. I love this. This is him talking, responding to what he thinks about the direction of the Democratic Party and what he wants to hear the Democratic Party do. It's just some guy named Jerry. But I'm telling you, this is indicative. The reason they had him on is because this is representative of what many rank and file Democratic Party voters are thinking.
they have no interest in correcting the situation. They're not doing any postmortems. They're writing off, well, we don't own the White House because of Putin or because of WikiLeaks. What did WikiLeaks tell us, by the way? They, regardless of who was behind it, they confirmed that Hillary Clinton and the Democratic establishment are liars and that they had their thumb on the scale, for Hillary Clinton. Well, you know, so what are they basically saying? If we hadn't been caught lying, we'd be running the country right now.
Bingo. See, in this entire story about Trump being a horrible person and being Nixon and being a despot and a dictator and a strong man and a lover of all strong men around the world and just a horrible person. Did I mention he's horrible? He's horrible. He's a horrible person. We've completely lost track that the Russian meddling in the election, to the extent that it existed, and I have my doubts, all it did was reveal how crooked the Democratic National Committee was. Through and through decayed, all you Democrats who, like sheep, went to the polls and voted for your preferred candidate, which was not Hillary Rodham Clinton, you went like sheep, and your party betrayed you. And now they're doing the blue ball, red ball thing to you again. They're distracting you with this nonsense about Trump. And this is why they want the special prosecutor. They want to drag this thing out. They want to make this thing to the talking point of the 2018 race. Because, God forbid, they have to address and talk about the real news. That the Democratic Party is corrupt and crooked to its core. And the reason they lost this freaking election is because of that. Plain and simple. By the way, we have a clip of Comey's firing. Can you play it? We have it. This is it. This is their actual. This is how it went down. Can we? We got it. Oh, it's not working. Dang it. Well, don't worry. When we come back, have we got a treat for you. All right. Stay tuned. Back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
All right. We got the audio to work. I promised that I had the actual sound from inside the room when Trump laid down the law with James Comey.
Gene, you're fired.
I respect your decision.
That's the wrong one. Okay. Well, might have been the best firing on The Apprentice ever. That, of course, was Gene Simmons and his beautifully delivered line, I respect your decision. All right. Well, on a completely different note, this Penn State fraternity hazing death, have you been following this? It's tragic. Apparently, this kid is 19 and he's pledging into fraternity. Part of that process is getting obscenely drunk. And the immediate aftermath of anything tragic that happens always ends up being an elaborate quest to figure out how to restructure society in a way to make it that event never happen again. Well, yes, it's Pollyannish, of course. I understand that. But this is how the liberal mind works. You've got to, if you're in government, you can prevent it. You got the power. You can pass laws. And no family should suffer what this family suffered. Now, I'm not making this, this is tragic. And if this happened to my kid, I'd be heartbroken. Now, it's not about that. It's about our society's problem with drinking. It's a weird deal. Let me tell you what I think. I think that the reason these things happen, the reason that kids at 18 and 19 go to college and lose their minds when it comes to alcohol is because they're not allowed to drink. That's the real problem. In Europe, 18, you drink legally. And by the way, leading up to 18, here's what is totally common practice. You drink at home. You drink with your parents. You drink beer. You drink wine. not to excess because you're supervised and your parents presumably don't let you do that. But you do grow up with alcohol around. You're allowed, you're given it to them. I mean, I go in American homes and the idea of giving their kid a beer at, you know, or a glass of wine at dinner at 16, 17 is unheard of. You'd be looked at as a, I don't know, some sort of a monster. Now, remember, we had some well-to-do guests, I will say that, from the Czech Republic, and they were visiting us, and we were at a restaurant in Newport Beach, and they had kids, I think they were like 12 and 14. Anyway, they calls the waiter over, no, they need wine glasses. And the waiter looked at me, and he knew me, because this is a spot that we frequent from time to time. He had this panicked look on his face. Sam, what do I do? I said, hey, you know what? They're good. They're not going to report you. It's just put the glasses down. We'll take care of it. They have that in Texas. You can drink with a parent. Doesn't matter what age you are. Kids can drink with their parent. And I think something like this, we've just simply got to move past this Protestant, you know, post-prohibition mindset that we have about alcohol. If you prohibit it, if you disallow it, if you make it forbidden fruit, what is the pubescent mind going to do? Yes, bees to honey. Absolutely. They'll be all over that. And that's what's going on. No. I honestly think one solution could be, and this is my inner libertarian here, I just lower the drinking age to 16. I think that 2 years of kids drinking with their parents around when they have to come home at night, where their parents can tell them, hey, that was stupid. See? Hangover. Don't do that. And by the time they get to college, it's demystified. I don't want my kid, his first experience with alcohol, drinking, to be when I'm not there. You want to know what terrifies me? That terrifies me. So, I don't know if I'm betraying any, you know, my own personal parenting plans in the coming years, but I hope my wife's not listening. Okay, talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great night, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Talk to you then.
Can't stop it. Talk radio. 790.
KABC.